praise thee, Lord, for thy great plan, that we thy dwelling place may be.
Welcome to Life Study of the Bible, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry, featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee, two ministers of God's economy who served together in China for nearly 20 years. Watchman Nee was imprisoned by the Chinese government in 1952 and remained there until his death in 1972. Following his imprisonment, Witness Lee carried on this ministry in Taiwan and eventually in America and ultimately around the world. He served the Lord for more than 70 years before going to be with him in 1997. His major contribution was through a 21-year labor he called Life Study, an exhaustive commentary on the entire Bible. This program is based on those messages. Before we join today's show, we'd like to give you our website where you can find more programs just like this one. It's lsmradio.org. Again, lsmradio.org. Now, here's our show today. Let us, as many as are full grown, have this mind. What is this mind spoken of in Philippians chapter 3, verse 15? When we find out what this mind is, then it will affect how we walk in our daily lives. Stay with us, because in today's program, we're going to see as Christians we should have the unique mind inwardly and the unique walk outwardly of Christ. Joining us for our life study today from the book of Philippians is Bob Danker. Bob, thanks for joining us once again.
Well, it's a pleasure, Chris. I really love this book of Philippians, which is so helpful for us to experience Christ.
In Philippians chapter 3, Bob, in this verse 15, the Apostle Paul says as a word of conclusion to the previous 14 verses, "Let us therefore, as many as are full grown, have this mind. And if in anything you are otherwise minded, this also God will reveal to you." We shouldn't take the Apostle's word for granted, but really seek the Lord for what this mind is that we're being pointed to here. We need to consider Paul's word in verses 13 and 14. "Brothers, I do not yet account of myself to have laid hold, but one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind and stretching forward to the things which are before, I pursue toward the goal for the prize to which God in Christ Jesus has called me upward." And finally, as a concluding phrase, Paul says, "Let us therefore have this mind." Bob, would you like to add something as an introduction before we join Witness Lee today?
Well, Chris, as we read these verses in Philippians, we get a strong impression that Paul had a definite direction and focus in his Christian life. He was somewhat like an Olympic athlete.
Mm-hmm.
You know how focused an athlete has to be, especially one who is pursuing a gold medal in the Olympics, right? They have to focus their whole being on their work of preparation for the race. And once they're in the race, then they are not aware of anything else but to finish the race, to reach the goal, and to win the prize. And this is what we see here in the Apostle Paul. He was like a runner in a race who was not looking behind him, was not looking to the left or to the right. His eyes were altogether forward so that he could run his race and finish his course and gain the prize that was awaiting him at the end of the race.
Bob, let's go ahead and join Witness Lee. This life study, as we pointed out, we want to discuss what this mind is.
In Philippians 3, you may see what a unique person is revealed in this portion of the word. The all-inclusive Christ.
Amen.
The excellent Christ. After all these 14 verses, Paul says, "Let us therefore." Therefore means a conclusion of the foregoing verses. "Let us therefore, as many as are full grown, have this mind." Now, what is this mind?
Amen.
The mind just to pursue. The mind just to do one thing, to do this, to pursue toward the goal. That is to live, to walk, to have our being absolutely out of the old creation. And absolutely into God.
Amen.
And this is the goal of out-resurrection. Pursue toward the goal of the out-resurrection. That is just to live a life which is absolutely out of all creation. And absolutely into God. And this out-resurrection has a portrait. The portrait is just the resurrected Christ, the very Christ in resurrection. Isn't this marvelous?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Today, in this universe, there is such a portrait, such a person portraying this kind of out-resurrection. Thus, therefore, as many as are full grown, have this mind.
So this mind is just a mind that pursues Christ. Bob, this is to have all the aspects of one's life absolutely out of the old creation and, as we heard, into God. And we see a portrait, a kind of portrait, as he said, in Christ himself, one who portrayed this kind of out-resurrection, a living in the reality of this outstanding resurrection. Talk about how there's a practical application for this today to us.
Yes, Chris, Christ is a portrait of a person who lived a life absolutely out of the old creation and absolutely in resurrection. Even before he was crucified and resurrected from the dead, he lived in resurrection. That means he lived in God, because God is resurrection. In the Gospel of John, he said, "I can speak nothing from myself."
Right.
In other words, the Lord never spoke a word out of himself. Himself is the old creation, and God is the new creation. So what word did the Lord speak? He spoke the Father's word. And then he also said, "I didn't come to do my own work, but I came to do the will of the Father." So the Lord was living all the time, putting aside himself, which is the old creation. Whatever we are in ourselves is the old creation. Whatever God is the new creation. He is the resurrection. And so for our Christian life, we need to live as the Lord Jesus lived. He is the portrait of a person who lived a life absolutely out of the old creation and absolutely in resurrection. That means all the time we should not live ourselves and we should not live in ourselves. Whether we do good or we do something evil, as long as it comes out of ourself, it is a part of the old creation. It's not in resurrection and it's not in God. But the life that Christ lived as our pattern and the life that Paul pursued to live was absolutely different. In Christ's human living, his human person, himself as a human being, was not the source of anything in his human life, but the very God, the Father, who indwelt him, was the source of all his living. So his living was the expression of the Father's living within him. And his living was simply the expression of the Father's living within him. When he spoke, his speaking was the expression of what the Father was speaking within him. When he did anything, it was a result of the Father's working within him. You see? So there were actually two were living one life. The Son, as a man, was living a mingled life with the Father. The two were living together. This is a life in resurrection. And this life far transcends morality, ethics, or anything merely human. You know, it's really a divinely human life.
So this is the context in which we can say things like this is a portrait, or as Paul did, pointing to Christ as a pattern for us, not as a pattern mimicking one. But I like what you said here, two persons living one life. That's the pattern. That's the portrait, isn't it?
That's right. So Christ lived the Father while he was in his humanity on the earth.
Right.
And then Paul lived Christ. So Christ was in Paul, just as the Father was in the Lord Jesus, and Paul's goal was to live a life that was absolutely the living out of Christ, so that his entire being, his spirit, his soul, and his body ultimately would be in resurrection, out of the old creation and fully into the new creation, which is just Christ himself.
Hence, Paul says, so to me, to live is Christ.
Absolutely.
Bob, let's go back to Witness Lee, a little more detailed discussion of this unique mind to be pursuing just Christ alone.
What is this unique mind? That is the understanding and the full realization of this one fact. That is, we, the redeemed ones of God,
Amen.
The chosen ones of God, the regenerated sons of God, we have to pursue one thing. That is to have our entire life absolutely out of the old creation and absolutely into God.
Yes.
In other words, to have our entire life just in the out resurrection. And this out resurrection is just a dear, precious, excellent person. And this person is the one that got himself out of the old creation and into the very God. Hallelujah! I tell you, this is our Savior. Have you ever heard a definition like this? A description of the Lord Jesus like this? We must pursue to live a life that is just this wonderful person himself. Paul says, to me, to live is Christ. He is this out resurrection. Oh, to me, to live is Christ. It's no longer I, but Christ that lives in me. Now you know who is this Christ. Such a treasure,
Amen.
Such an excellent one.
Amen.
He lives in us, and we live here. As long as you remain in the old creation, regardless what good thing, better thing, bad thing you do, you don't live here. As long as you have a life, even better than that of Confucius, that is not Christ. That is some ethics in the old creation. We must pursue
Amen.
To overcome all the old creation ethics, to pursue toward this goal,
Amen.
The goal of the out resurrection.
Amen.
That is just our dear Lord,
Amen.
The excellent Christ himself.
Bob, I'd like to pick up this point just touched here, lest anyone listening, maybe for the first time and not having heard this before, would not be confused. He used the example of even the good things, even one who might be as ethical as Confucius. If the source of this goodness is the old creation, this just is not living Christ. Give us a little more definition and explanation here.
Yes, because Christ is a person who is absolutely out of the old creation and in the new creation. And he is the new creation. So if we live him, we live in the new creation. But if we live out anything, good or bad, even the highest morality and ethics, and Brother Lee used the example here of Confucius, who was a Chinese ethical philosopher, and probably his ethics is about as high as any ethics we could find,
mm-hmm.
although there are other philosophers whose ethics were high as well.
Right.
But if we live even an ethical life, a moral life of the highest standard, as long as the source of that life is us as a human being, then we are living in the old creation because we are the old creation. And we are not living Christ as Paul was endeavoring to do, because Paul saw a revelation of Christ and how excellent Christ is. Paul wanted to have his entire being with all his living, including his speaking, his work, every part of his living, in this person. He wanted to live Christ and not live himself. That means he wanted to have his entire living and his entire being in the new creation, which is just Christ himself. So Paul was running the race so that he could gain Christ and be found in Christ and live Christ so that he might attain to the out-resurrection. That means he might attain to Christ, who is the out-resurrection. That means Paul wanted to have his entire living and everything related to him in Christ. Paul wanted to be saturated with Christ and filled with Christ, and he was running a race to attain to this goal.
Bob, what about a practical example? Most of us are probably not at the ethical level of a Confucius, but we all experience trying to do the right thing. Does this fall into the same category?
Yes, Chris. There's something in our human nature that wants to do the right thing. We want to love our wives. We want to love our children and do the best for them. We want to be honest, fair.
Right.
You know, all these human virtues we'd like to have as a part of our living. But we have to realize that a good ethical human life is not what God wants. And even if we could live such a life, as long as this life is just ourself living, it's still in the old creation. But God's desire is to resurrect us, to bring us out of the old creation into the new creation, so that we have a living that is in the new creation. That is, a living that is in Christ.
Bob, let's go on to our conclusion now. In verse 15, Paul says that if in anything we are otherwise minded, this also God shall reveal to us. But being otherwise minded, there's maybe an apparent conflict. You know, as believers, we're often encouraged to be broad-minded and open. But Paul is going another direction here. He's trying to focus all the believers on this one thing. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
Paul says, if in anything you are otherwise minded. You consider you are so broad-minded. In the Bible, broad-minded is condemned by God. Straight and narrow. The way is straight and the gate is narrow.
Amen.
Into life. Let us therefore have this mind. One mind. One unique mind. If you are otherwise minded, this also God shall reveal to you. If you are otherwise minded, that means what? You are short of revelation. You need the revelation. Here it doesn't say God will teach you, but says this also God shall reveal to you. One mind. When this unique person is revealed to you and me, we are unified by him. God shall also reveal this to you, that you may have this mind, the unique mind.
Amen.
The mind that was in Paul, the mind that was in many of the Lord Jesus lovers and seekers, a mind with a resolution to pursue toward nothing, just to pursue toward a life. Not a work, not a movement, but just a life. A life out of the old creation and a life absolutely in the new creation. We all need to have a resolution that we will pursue toward this goal. This unique mind, then the unique walk. We all know this principle. Human beings are always under their mind. Not the walk directs the mind, but the mind directs your walk. Your mind directs, controls, governs your walk. Your walk will become the unique walk.
Amen.
Under the control, the direction of the unique mind. This is what the Lord is after. The unique mind directing our unique walk. That we pursue toward the unique goal.
Amen.
The Christ in resurrection.
Amen.
And the out resurrection.
Bob, the Lord told us in Matthew chapter 7 that narrow is the gate and constricted or straight is the way that leads to life. It seems that God is not as broad-minded as we like to think we are, and we wish that he was, is he?
That's right, Chris. It seems that God does not have a broad mind. It seems that God's mind is narrow, and he would like us to have a narrow mind. As we brought up the example in the beginning about an Olympic athlete, one who is pursuing a gold medal.
Right.
Such a person is surely narrow-minded. If you try to interrupt him in his training, in his preparing for the race or whatever he's competing in, he will not have any time for anything else. His whole being is focused on one goal. Well, God wants us to be the same. God wants us to focus our mind and our entire being on his goal, not on a goal that we would choose, but on a goal that God has set before us, so that we would make a resolution within ourselves that we would just pursue Christ and pursue a life that is absolutely out of the old creation and in God, in Christ, in resurrection. This is God's mind. And according to verse 15 here, if we don't have this mind, God will reveal it to us.
Yes.
This is a strong indication that God wants us to have this mind. Otherwise, he would not reveal it to us. So what we really need, Chris, is we need God to reveal to us whenever our mind is focused on anything other than God's goal. And that is that we would gain Christ, that Christ would live in us, we would live him and not ourselves. And in the process of living Christ, we would be gradually resurrected out of the old creation until we are completely in the new creation. Then we will participate in the out-resurrection as Paul wanted to do.
Bob, I think it would not be too much for us to even tell the Lord, Lord, don't teach me this. Reveal this mind to me. It just strikes me, when something gets revealed to us, is revealed into our mind, boy, that really directs our walk, doesn't it?
It does. It changes us. A revelation revolutionizes us. So if God would reveal this to us, then we would be able to have a great change in our pursuit as a Christian, and we would be focused on God's goal.
Our toll-free number, and before I give it, let me invite you to use it, is 1-888-LIFE-STUDY. That's 888-543-3788. Our mailing address is Living Stream Ministry, Post Office Box 2121, Anaheim, California, 92814. And our email address is radio@lsm.org. For Bob Denker today, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you for listening to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. The focus of Living Stream is the works of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee, two co-laborers with the Lord in China in the first half of the 20th century. After World War II, Witness Lee brought this ministry first to Taiwan, then later to North America, and eventually to the entire world. For more than 20 years, he spoke these life study messages, unveiling how each book of the Bible shows God's eternal plan. God, through Christ, wants to dispense his life and nature into redeemed man, so that man would become God's expression, enlargement, counterpart, and habitation. These studies go far beyond mere doctrine and unveil a personal, practical, and experiential Christ. In these short 26-minute programs, we summarize and condense Witness Lee's rich speaking. But to enjoy all the riches in these messages, we hope you'll visit our website at lifestudy.com. There, you can read all of the Life Study messages absolutely free of charge. You can even create your own Life Study reading schedule or download more Life Study audio programs just like this one, and all at no cost. Again, the website, lifestudy.com. Thanks for listening.
Was Jesus simply a great religious leader?
The next day he saw Jesus coming to him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John chapter 1, verse 29. Based on the scriptures, the religious people were looking for a great leader, but Jesus was introduced to them as a little lamb with a little dove. The lamb is for redemption, to redeem fallen man back to God, and the dove is for life-giving, for anointing, to anoint man with what God is, to bring God into man and man into God. Both the lamb and the dove are needed for man to participate in God. Scripture, John 1:29, and commentary from the New Testament Recovery Version published by Living Stream Ministry. For more information, visit lsm.org.